Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you would open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word, we may be taught to repent of our sins, that we may be led to believe in Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is He's Risen, He's Risen, and I invite you to stand for the last verse. I invite you to follow along with our order of service as it's printed for you in the bottom of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered together to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives them the power to become the very children of God, and God gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated our Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is God and Savior. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for this morning is from Acts chapter 3. We read verses 12 through 20. This account takes place after Peter had healed a man, and he points not just to Jesus for the credit as to who did the who is the power behind the healing, but you also notice in his words here, he points to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people. "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Why are you staring at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and disowned in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. You killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses of this. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus that has strengthened this man, whom you see and know. This faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, just like your leaders. But in this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Therefore, repent and return to have your sins wiped out, so that refreshing times may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, the Christ, appointed for you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading for today is from 1 John chapter 5. We read verses 1 through 6. "Glory to you, O Lord." These words from the Apostle John remind us not only is Jesus the focus of our preaching and teaching and life, but he is the reason that we live the way we do. Jesus reminds us in these words through his Apostle John that when we keep his commandments and do as he commands us, we are showing our love for him and our lives reflect his love for us. John writes, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the God who has given birth also loves the one who has been born of him. This is how we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commands. In fact, this is love for God, that we keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Because everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by the water alone, but by the water and by the blood. The Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth." This is the word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Nicene Creed, beginning on page 6. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn. We'll sing the first four verses of O Sons and Daughters of the King. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our living Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of John. We read from chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, and this would be the evening of Easter Sunday, the disciples were together behind locked doors because of their fear of the Jews. Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. Just as the Father has sent me, I am also sending you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whenever you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. Whenever you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." But Thomas, one of the 12, the one called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." After 8 days, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Take your hand and put it into my side. Do not continue to doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus, in the presence of his disciples, did many other miraculous signs that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. This section from the Gospel of John is the traditional gospel reading for the Sunday after Easter. It is one of my favorite texts to preach on in the whole Bible. It's such a compelling narrative. It is so relatable and memorable. Relatable in the sense that which one of us hasn't been like Thomas before? Which one of us hasn't had doubts about our faith at times, even if it was just for a short time? Or maybe the doubts weren't quite as severe as Thomas just not believing that Jesus rose from the dead, even though the disciples had all seen him and told him continually, "We've seen the Lord, he's risen." Which one of us hasn't wanted at times more visible, tangible proof from the Lord to confirm our faith, to take away those doubts that at times nag our hearts and minds? Maybe this is one of your favorite accounts in the Bible as well. Maybe you've read it or heard it read many times over the years. If you've attended one of our congregations for a long time, you've probably heard this text read every single Sunday after Easter for now probably many years. In my 20 years of ministry, I've probably preached on this text at least 10 times. I could have gone back and counted, but my guess is at least 10 times. That's a lot. It's a lot of times to preach on one text. And so there's a particular challenge when preaching on a familiar text, especially if it's a text that's not only familiar, but one that you've preached on a number of times. And so as I was studying the text again this week and thinking, what am I going to say for this Sunday that I haven't said many other times about this very text? It struck me that one of the most important aspects of this text is not just the narrative about Thomas and Jesus' appearance to him. We might call it the what that happened, the what of this text. What's also very important is the why. Why did the Holy Spirit inspire John to write down this account in the Bible? We find the answer to that question in the last verses of this text. And these are the verses that we're going to focus on today. When we read these verses, we realize that these words were written for us. When you think about the narrative of this text, Jesus' appearance to Thomas was very much for him. But the writing down of this narrative and the words that John writes for us, especially at the end of this text, were for us. Let's start with Jesus' words in verse 29 of our text. Yes, Jesus is, of course, talking to Thomas here, but don't miss the fact that he's also speaking to us and about us and all believers who, unlike Thomas, would not be able to see Jesus with their very own eyes. Verse 29 says, "Jesus said to him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Probably a familiar verse to you. You've probably heard this a number of times. So I will quiz you on it. What does Jesus call us and all who believe in him, even though we've never seen him with our own two eyes? Foolish? Childish? Gullible? Insane? No, he calls us blessed. When we look to Jesus with eyes of faith, we are exactly that. We are truly blessed. In fact, John tells us this is one of the reasons God's Holy Spirit inspired him to write what he wrote in his gospel. Listen again to verse 30, to the first half of verse 31 of our text. It says, Jesus, in the presence of his disciples, did many other miraculous signs that are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. These are written that you may believe. Even though we haven't seen Jesus with our own two physical eyes, he has not left us without proof. He's given us his very own words, his words which he inspired eyewitnesses like the Apostle John to write down for us. And even though he hasn't written down every single thing he ever said or did, what he has written down for us is enough for us to, in the words of John, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In fact, we could say that these words of verse 31 are not just the reason for John's gospel and the reason it was written. Rather, these words, we find the reason and purpose for the entire Bible. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Couldn't we say that is the reason and purpose for the entirety of the Scriptures? That we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If you're paying close attention to our liturgy today, you notice that we sang those words after hearing the scripture readings. These are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. As Jesus says, we are truly blessed when we believe in him. Remember what Jesus' first words to his disciples were, words that he mentions and says to them, I believe at least three times in our text. His first words to them were, peace be with you. We are blessed when we believe in Jesus because we have exactly that. In Jesus we have peace, true peace. And what did Jesus show them that proved not only that he was alive, but that he had bought and paid for that peace? The very next verse, verse 20 of our text, tells us, after he said this, peace be with you, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. When everything seems uncertain in this life, we can be certain and look to the risen, living Lord. And in those nail-pierced hands and that spear-pierced side, we see the price that he paid for our peace. In a world that is filled with war, in a life that is filled with stress, with problems, with sorrows, with guilt over past and present sins, we can still be sure of peace in Jesus. He died and paid for all sins. And now he lives. He lives and he says to us, peace be with you. With Jesus, it's more than just a wish. It's more than just a common greeting, because this was the common greeting amongst the Jews, peace be with you. But with Jesus, it's more than that. It is an accomplished fact. It is a precious gift from our Lord and Savior. And finally, we are truly blessed when we believe in Jesus because, as John says in the last verse of the last half of the last verse of our text, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That is the true blessing of believing in Jesus, having life in his name. What kind of life did Jesus come to give us? Certainly, we must admit that he has given us many blessings in this life, beyond what we deserve, beyond what we even ask for, especially giving us spiritual blessings, forgiveness of sins, faith in him, brings us the peace that is absolutely priceless. But more than that, Jesus gives us eternal life in his name. Again, those nail-pierced hands and that spear-pierced side bought and paid for our place with him forever in heaven. A place that he promised he is preparing for us. So Jesus has come again to you and me once again today in these familiar words, words that are his words. And he says to us and comes to us to remove our doubts. He says, put your finger here into my hands. Look at my hands. Take your hand and put it into my side. See and touch the wounds that I bore for you on the cross for your sins. See and touch that I am alive. I am your living, loving Savior. Do not continue to doubt, but believe. Jesus is speaking to you and to me when he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus has given us the sure and certain words of his eyewitnesses. Men like John, who reminds us that this is the very reason that he wrote the words that he did. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And so with eyes of faith in Jesus' words, we confidently say today the words of the disciples. We have seen the Lord. Believe, and there will come a day when we will truly see, not with eyes of faith, but with our own two eyes. As the Apostle John would remind us in his first letter, we shall see him as he is. We will see him as he is. What a day that will be. We look forward to that day, and we can say with Job of the Old Testament those blessed Easter words, for I know that my Redeemer lives, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entry of our church. We continue with our prayers for today. Prayers have been requested for the family and loved ones of Professor David Lau, a longtime pastor and professor in our church body, a teacher while I was at school, and a pastor to many others, and teacher to many others in our church body. We prayed for him a few weeks ago, and the Lord has graciously taken him to his eternal home in heaven this past Thursday as he was surrounded by family members. We pray for his family and loved ones, and we bring our general prayer to our Lord's throne. Are there any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful to you for the blessed life you gave to your son, David Lau, for the many years of service you gave him in your kingdom, for the many hearts and lives he touched with your gospel message, and the incredible teaching and preaching gifts you gave him that blessed the lives of so many. We praise you for the family and friends you gave him, and for all that you provided for him. But most of all, Lord, we praise you for your grace in making him your child at his baptism and bringing him to faith in your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. We praise you for giving him a peaceful end and relief from all his physical burdens and pains. We rejoice that he is now sharing the eternal joys of his heavenly home with his Savior Jesus and all the believers that have gone before him. At this time of loss, please comfort his wife, his children and grandchildren, all of his family, friends, and loved ones with the words of comfort and encouragement from your word that Prof. Lau so often shared with them. Give them joy when they think of the fact that he is sharing the eternal peace and joy of heaven with you, where there is no sin, no sorrow, no pain, and no death. Give them your peace, dear Jesus, the peace that the world cannot give, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that comes from your forgiving love, which you displayed for us all on the cross, and your victory over the grave, which assures David and us of our own resurrection on the last day. O precious Savior, there is no work or sacrifice we can do to turn away God's wrath from us. But we give you eternal thanks because through your suffering and death on the cross, you have won the full forgiveness for our sins, and you have established peace with God on our behalf. This peace God announced unmistakably to the whole world when he raised you from the dead. Now peace and forgiveness will always be ours, for you always live to make intercession for us in heaven. Our ever-living Lord, this peace which you brought to us fills our hearts with a holy joy, for we know that whenever we meet God, we shall stand before him unaccused, uncondemned, and unpunished. And at that last day, we will be received into the everlasting joys of heaven. Help us, dear Savior, to broadcast throughout the world that blessed message of forgiveness and peace through you, the crucified and risen Christ. And we pray that you would use your Spirit to draw the hearts of sinners to their Savior, calling them to repentance. In your name we ask all these things, dear Jesus. Amen. We continue our service with our next hymn. We'll sing verses 5 through 9 of hymn 470. It's printed on page 10.
Thank you.
Please rise. We continue on the bottom of page 10 with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We praise you especially for the glorious resurrection of your Son, the true Passover Lamb, who by his sacrifice took away the sins of the world and by his resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. We give you thanks, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. In his name we pray as we now join in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with the distribution of the Lord's Supper. We'll begin with those who would like to partake of the Lord's Supper from their pew, and we'll continue with those who would like to take it from the altar. I invite you to please take the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now please take the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. And now at the direction of the ushers, of the usher, invite those to come forward to receive the Lord's Supper. Please rise. We continue with the singing of the Nunc Dimittis on page 13 and 14 in your bulletin. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our service today with our final hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. We will invite you to rise for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard again today. A few announcements for today and for this week. I'll be heading up to Hayward for our worship service there with communion at 1 p.m. and Bible class at 2. This week, a reminder that tomorrow there is still no school. We finish up Easter break tomorrow, and school resumes again on Tuesday. My confirmation classes with Natalie will be held for the next couple of weeks on both Wednesday and Friday. We are finishing up her confirmation class and going to have her ready for her confirmation at the end of the school year. So June 8th, I believe, is the date. I think it's the 8th for her confirmation. Next Sunday, worship service at the usual time, 10 a.m., Bible class at 9. Following next Sunday's service, we're asking the choir to meet for practice. We'll start our practicing for events this spring, like the confirmation, and sing hopefully a choir song for that Sunday. So please join us for choir next Sunday at 11 a.m. I believe those are all the announcements I have for today. Are there any other announcements? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.